Back in the day when I was at seminary, you had to take some classes on preaching. Now that shouldn't surprise you. So the professor would say to the class, open your Bibles to such and such a text. And then he would say, what theme and what maybe three or four points, what parts he would call it, would you have based on this text? And so students, it was a contest. It was a contest who could come up with the fanciest, snazziest theme. And then sometimes it became a contest to cover all the points of the text. Well, the professor would catch us every single time. One, for trying to be too entertaining. And two, for packing into a sermon way too much information that you will never cover at all, and certainly not adequately. Today's text, today's gospel is sort of sneaky that way. If you were to do a Bible study on this text, you could pick one main theme and you'd quickly think that Jesus is teaching us not to be superficial, phony, shallow. Not all the scribes were that way, but some of the scribes were that way. They were so full of themselves that they loved the accolades. They loved the attention. They would make sure they would wear their right robes, the long robes, out into the public so everybody would know, hey, there goes one of the scribes. But Jesus was talking about, that's really not what they were about, because inside in their heart, they were so wicked that they took advantage of those who would contribute to the support of the mission, the temple. And they took advantage of widows and anyone they can. Now, you know, in our time and within your lifetime, there have been the religious scams, right? Those who have taken advantage of others who would trust, who would believe in them, who just absolutely almost worshiped them. And when they did that, they would take them for every cent they were worth. And Jesus says, don't do that. The other theme you might pick on is the woman, and the woman gives all she has. That's a simple lesson, isn't it? How awesome that is, that she's not full of herself and she's not hoarding, and she wants to support the work of the Lord, and therefore she gives all that she has, and it's two coins. And now you get into that idea of percentage giving. And so you had the wealthy who gave some, and in a sense, for you and I, it might have been big bucks, but for her, those two coins meant everything. Now notice in the reading, you can take a look at your bulletin. Notice when he starts talking about the woman, he doesn't tell the disciples or the listeners, I want you to be like her. I want you to go do that. I want you to give all that you have. So what's the surprise in this text? Hebrews helps us understand that the one who is talking in this chapter in Mark is our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the best. His righteousness is real. His holiness is pure. He's not a fake. He's not superficial. He even told his disciples he came to serve, not be served. He wasn't looking for false accolades and praise and adoration. He was looking to help, fulfilling the prophecies out of Isaiah, especially about healing the blind, the lame, and the mute, and having people talk and serve and rejoice in the Lord. Jesus did not come to get the high places, the most honored places in the community. In fact, he was born of Joseph and Mary in a stable, his very beginnings. And the Bible talks about how he emptied himself, he humbled himself and became man. Jesus is not so full of self-love that he had no love for people, but instead he had pure love for people. And his gift, he didn't give money. He gave himself. In the catechism, you might remember the words about how, you know, we're not redeemed with dollars and cents or silver or gold, but with his holy, precious body and blood. He gave himself. And so the point in the book of Hebrews there, it points out that, you know what relieves us of our guilt? You know what takes away our shame? It's not whether we wear the right robes or whether people have an awesome opinion of us, nor is it to follow the widow as if we give our all and now we can pat ourselves on the back for having done such a well job. Or quote scripture, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But instead, we have Jesus. We have Jesus who did it all for us in our place. We have Jesus, the perfect sacrifice. We have Jesus, the perfect payment. We have Jesus and his righteousness. So that in the bread and wine is the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that grants us the forgiveness of our sins. In the scriptures, we have God's word that tells us our sins are forgiven. In our hearts, we have the Holy Spirit who validates and proclaims that living word in our hearts to our very ears, our very mind, our very being. We have Jesus. There is the warning, don't be superficial. And there is the encouragement, don't hoard. Be faithful in giving. But in those two extremes, here is Christ in the midst of them. And he wants the people to see in him the perfect gift for life and for salvation. You and I fall short. There's days we do things, but we really didn't want to serve. Maybe that's just me. You know, we fall short. We give of ourselves, but we always hold a little bit back. But we have a Savior who did it once and for all. Perfect for us. So that in the book of Hebrews, when it talks about Christ coming again, we're not afraid. In fact, we rejoice that he comes as he fulfilled the promises, so he fulfills one more, that he comes to take his people, you believers, to be with him forever. In the midst of this text, between the two people, the scribes and the woman, is Christ. And in the midst of Christ, he has us in himself. Amen.